Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl.
And I'm Liz June.
And this is
Neat.
It's a weekly booze cast.
It's a history lesson with a twist.
And continuing with our month-long theme, this is a spooky twist.
It's a spooky twist. Spooky.
So what's spooky about today's episode, Liz? Well,
both of the cocktails we're talking about today have spooky names.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a seasonal drink to make for the rest of spooky season, here gonna give you some options.
Yeah. And they actually have a little bit more in common, too. We'll talk about it later. But I'm going to start with, because mine's a little bit older. So I'm talking about the Corpse Reviver cocktails. So that's actually, it's a family of cocktails named for their supposed ability to cure a hangover.
Ah.
And I, of course, this is the hair of the dog method, you know.
Right.
Because the alcohol.
You know, I know a little bit about the cocktail you're going to talk about. That is not a hair of a dog. That is many hairs.
It's many, many hairs.
This is a whole other dog. That's right. A whole ass new dog we're going to talk about.
You might have already gathered this, that the name references the cocktail's ability to bring a dead person, or maybe just a severely dehydrated person, back to life.
Mm.
And there are lots of variations of it, many of which are lost to time. You know, history's funny like that. If nobody wrote it down, did it happen? I don't know.
Well, yeah, but just nobody wrote it down.
But nobody wrote it down. So you don't know, though. You don't know. But nowadays, Reviver is really just like, it's become more of a moniker for any morning after cocktail.
Okay.
When I first started researching this, actually this painting kept coming up, which is really fun. It's called The Day After by Edvard Munch. And it's like basically like it's this like woman strewn out on a bed like with like one hand over her forehead. And there's like a table that has like an empty bottle of wine and like a cup with a little bit left in it. And she just looks like, which is, I just really appreciate that like not only this, the state of a hangover has been like recognized since like, I mean, before that, like the beginning of time. But then also like a famous painter decided to perfectly encapsulate this truly relatable moment.
You know, it's funny because I know a bit about Edvard Munch, and his paintings were always like so like focused on like anxiety and fear and phobias, and then I just love that he's like and hangovers.
Yeah, no, this is a really I like the painting a lot. I'm gonna put it. I'll put it up somewhere.
I know.
I'll
kind of
put it on
want
social
it.
Media so you can
to.
See it.
Oh, I just want it for, like, my
you
bar.
You just want it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's a good one. Well, you know, I don't know. Christmas is coming up. So,
give me those creepy, unfortunate hangover paintings.
So, the term corpse reviver has been around for much longer than we've known of the most popular variation, which we're going to talk about later. It first appears in an issue of the publication Punch in 1861. Also in 1871, a recipe for a cocktail called the Corpse Reviver was described in the Gentleman's Table Guide as half of a wine glass full of brandy, half of a wine glass full of maraschino, and 2 dashes of bitters. And there was another version that made it like a fancy pousse café, which is like a layered drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Great. I've never had one. Now I'm curious. No?
They look cool. for anyone that's just brief description, you're layering alcohols of different weights, of different viscosities on each other.
So like a snake like bite.
Well, but that's like snake bite kind of, they kind of blend together, drink it. Oh, these are like separate like lines of color. So you're usually using really vibrantly colored and really different viscosities, so they kind of stay separate in the glass. And usually they're designed purely for the aesthetic quality.
So they're gross, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you're just like okay. going to have like an, you know, a quarter ounce of various liqueurs, like sweet liqueurs, just coming down your throat at slightly different times. They're not really mixed. They're just like, meh.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so there's like a lot of different things that call themselves corpse revivers. Again, all these cocktails are that they're just they could be described as hangover cures, and the name corpse reviver is just like given to them to describe that. So it could be, it literally could be anything. Anyone, and at this point in history, everyone is like, yeah, here you go. Here's a thing that I thought of. It's alcohol and herbs, and you can take it and it'll make you feel better. I just decided, would you give me some money, please? Thank you. But the ones that you may have heard about and are commonly accepted as part of the series are the Corpse Reviver number 1, Corpse Reviver number 2, and Corpse Reviver number 2A.
This is like, these names get significantly less sexy with every...
Yep.
Like, Corpse Reviver, ooh, that sounds cool. Corpse Reviver number 2, all right, numbers... 2A, are we indexing them?
Yeah, okay, so system? I'll explain. So these all come from Harry Craddock, who was an American bartender who came to London shortly after Prohibition began, because, you know, if you're a bartender and now there's Prohibition, what are you going to do? You got to go to London. And eventually he worked his way to being the head barman at the American Bar at the Savoy Hotel. And it was just called the American Bar. It was still in London. I don't know if that's, I mean, reading that is confusing to me. So I just wanted to make sure that was clarified.
We've touched on this before. There were a couple American bars.
Yeah, there were many, many, New York bars even.
Yep.
Okay. So his big claim to fame was actually writing the Savoy cocktail book, with many of his own recipes included. And a recipe for the Corpse Reviver number 1 first came up in the Savoy cocktail book, and it calls for 2 parts cognac, 1 part Calvados or apple brandy, and 1 part Italian vermouth. And Craddock notes that it should be taken before 11 a.m. or whenever steam or energy is needed.
All right, that's a good,
you know,
good time.
So anytime.
Really. Anytime that you need energy, just have a cocktail.
Anytime you want. So after Craddock puts this recipe in his book, it kind of makes these cocktails a bit more distinguished from other versions of Corpse Revivers because there were so many. In fact, the Savoy cocktail book is where we find Corpse Reviver number 2, which is probably the most popular version and is what we typically see in bars today.
Yes.
And it is equal parts gin, lemon juice, curacao, and usually Cointreau, quinalillet, and a dash of absinthe. Craddock notes of the number 2 of Corpse Reviver number 2 that 4 of these taken in swift succession will unrevive the corpse again. I really like this guy's sense of humor.
So they'll kill you. All right, good to know.
Cool. And it's been suspected that the current popularity of the number 2 is probably has something to do with that the fact that Cocchi Americano returned to the market, which is a spirit that's like a little bit closer to Quinalillet than modern Lillet Blanc.
Right.
Which is, you mentioned this when we did the James Bond episode about like the martini, that Lillet Blanc isn't really a good substitute for what they used.
They were just different formulations. Yeah. So like what Lillet would have been in this time period is a lot closer to Cocchi, whereas the Lillet we have on the market, it's kind of the one that was designed for the American market, and it's a little sweeter.
Okay.
So if you want what Lillet, old world Lillet tastes like, new world Cocchi, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay. All
I
right.
still like the Coke or the Lillet that's on the market now. Where right. That's what I have for
I'm not
what we're
dominant.
Gonna do later.
But. All right. I mean, I like it too. I think it, you know, for me, I'm like, I never tried these cocktails in their original form, so I wouldn't know the difference. Yeah. So there's also a version of the number 2 that uses Swedish punch instead of Lillet, and that's where the number 2A name comes in. Okay. Although Sometimes it's referred to as Corpse Survivor Number 3, which is confusing because there's also a Savoy Corpse Survivor, and it is also called Corpse Survivor Number 3. So the Savoy Corpse Survivor is one part brandy, one part Fernet Branca, and one part creme de menthe. And that's, of course, also named for the hotel in London,
right,
where I mentioned before. And that is where Johnny Johnson also worked and created this cocktail, the Savoy Reviver.
Okay.
Then Salvatore Calabrese, in his book Classic Cocktails, lists the Savoy Corpse Survivor as Corpse Survivor Number 3. But right, it's not standardized, and it is also referred to as Corpse Survivor Number 4.
So there's no, I don't know why.
Right, no.
Why I would expect consensus in a community that largely consists on, like, lying and stealing.
After number 2, it gets really confusing because, like, a reviver made with punch could be number 2A, but it could also be number 3. But number 3 could also be the Savoy reviver, which would also be number 4. There's okay. There's more, though. So there's the Criterion reviver, which is Leo Engel of the Criterion Hotel, his version. And that is one bottle of Tonis water, like sparkling mineral water, a glass and a half of Encore whiskey, and a dash of bitters. So I guess you make a big batch. That's right. The recipe.
Okay.
The recipe.
I don't know how I feel about watered down whiskey with some bitters in it.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, I guess, well, if
that's,
it's supposed
not
to be,
bring me back to
if it's
life.
Supposed to be a hangover cure, then, like, you don't want, like, a ton of alcohol
I
in
just,
it.
I just
think
don't,
about it like a Bloody Mary, no, like the concentration of alcohol in that. Like, it's mostly tomato juice, right?
I'm just going off the, sure, but, like, well, look at the name. Oh, it's a corpse reviver. You know what's going to bring me back from the dead? Hey, do you want some? I watered down your whiskey with a bunch of water.
I put some bubbles in your whiskey.
You go. It's just a big old glass of water that's a little
great.
Brown.
Okay.
Come back to life. Cool. No, thank you. Staying dead.
Staying dead. All right. Well, if that one doesn't tickle your fancy, there's also the Cafe Royal revivers from the Cafe Royal cocktail book by W.J. Tarling. You know he's serious because his first name is initials.
That's true.
Which and that also includes a corpse reviver that calls for brandy, orange juice, lemon juice, and champagne. Sounds like a brunch cocktail.
That sounds like a brunch cocktail.
Except for the brandy. That's a lot.
That's fine. I like that there's literally no ingredient in common between any of these.
No, none.
It is just, I want to make the best cocktail with this cool ass name, and maybe if I get it, I'll get to keep the cool ass name for me.
Right.
But no one can decide. Well, we all actually have decided. You might find the first one in a recipe.
Yeah.
You'll find the second one a lot of places. Mm-hmm. All this other shit is just people just grasping at fame that they don't deserve.
Right. As you mentioned before, the number 2 is the most popular one, and that's the one that you're going to see on cocktail menus today.
Yeah.
So there are now more than a few contemporary variations of the number 2, including one that uses yellow chartreuse instead of triple sec, and the Corpse Survivor Number Blue.
Oh, I believe I informed you about that one.
Yes, which uses blue curacao.
I've had that one. We're gonna probably show you how to make that one, because I think a lot of times the worlds of really good ass cocktails and really blue ass cocktails barely overlap. But this one case where you can actually get a delicious classic cocktail, but make it blue.
But make it blue
pretty easily.
All right, I'm excited about that. But the thing that all of these cocktails have in common, the only thing that all the corpse survivors have in common is that they claim to help you with your hangover. That is the only thing they have in common.
I like the category, like the revivers. This is what they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, like
not. But it's just a drink that we claim will help you out.
Lots of things.
I mean.
Yeah.
It could be anything,
all right,
really.
Well, if the corpse reviver won't bring you back from the dead, then maybe you want to try something else.
Well, maybe I do.
Maybe you want to try a zombie.
Maybe I do.
So that's what I'm going to tell you about. So in the category of cocktails named after revenants, I guess that's a category we actually have. Yeah, so you've probably heard of a zombie. It is it's a very popular tiki-style drink. Now, it was first made by a man named Don Beach.
Don Beach?
Don Beach. He made it in 1934 at his restaurant, Don the Beachcomber, which was located in Hollywood.
What a fun name that is.
Well, and you might think, like, oh, how, what a crazy random happenstance that a guy that would sort of, this is the guy that kind of birthed the tiki cocktail craze that started in the 30s but really caught wind in like the 40s and 50s. What a coincidence that his name is Don Beach.
What a coincidence indeed.
Because it's not.
It's not his real name?
No.
Okay.
He.
I could have seen that.
Yeah.
I could have called that.
This was an alias of a man named Ernest Gant. Now, a bit about Gant. So he was born in 1907. I think he's probably in Texas, although there are records that indicate that he was actually born in New Orleans and then just raised in Texas. New Orleans likes to claim him, though, which is fine. I get it. They have a lot of cocktail culture there. Why wouldn't they? But he spent a lot of his summers on his grandfather's yacht. And his grandfather was probably a rum runner or a bootlegger. He's probably running illegal liquor into the country to avoid taxes.
Yeah, because, you know, you can't pay the, you don't want to pay the tax man for your booze.
No. And this clearly had an impact on young Ernest. Because he went
Ernest.
On. Yes. Yeah, we're not. Okay, it's Don a, Beach. We're calling you Ernest for now.
It's a good job that you changed your name. Because yeah. Your name is Ernest. What if it was Ernest Beach?
Mr. Ernest Beach. Yeah, that's not. I don't want to.
It doesn't, really, like, it doesn't quite have the
get
same.
Get my island vibes on, get a cool island drink from Ernest.
For Ernest.
Oh, Ernie.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry if your name is Ernest.
Hey, you can still make cool cocktails if your name
you
is
could.
Ernest.
You could. I bet you're a cool Ernest.
My last name is Smurl, and I work with that. So, you know, don't worry hey. About it. But yes. Yeah,
I don't even use my last name.
It's true. It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. Ooh.
But he would this impacted his life really, because he would go on to work on cruise ships in his young adult life to kind of bop around the South Pacific. He joined the Navy for a while and had several tours where he was encountering different kinds of rum. He was going out around the Caribbean, and he became very enamored with Polynesian culture. On his travels, he collected artifacts and alcohol throughout his travels.
What are the artifacts? I wonder. I'm just gonna wonder about it. You don't have to tell me.
Well, it's stuff that he would use these things to decorate the bar that he when he returned home from his service.
Oh, so this is like the beginnings of like a tiki bar.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what you. Yeah, you made that.
Yeah.
Don Beach.
Mr. Don Beach.
Ernest.
Came back to Hollywood in 1934. He opened up a bar right after Prohibition, which lines up fittingly because, like, there was Prohibition. He probably was doing illegal activity throughout Prohibition.
Oh, most certainly.
But he, one of the assumed reasons for why he has the alias, why he has the fake name, is not just because it fits with his image. But also because his name was tied to both an illegal speakeasy that was operated during Prohibition and also to bootlegging or rum running. So ooh. His name change was not just for the aesthetics. In the timeliness of the end of Prohibition, he opens Don the Beachcomber in Hollywood, which is Don Beach's bar.
Don Beach.
Mm-hmm. So, and it was a hit. He, like I said, he decorated it with the stuff he found on his travels. I will say this, because there are conflicting stories on whether or not he was quite the storied traveler he claims to be.
Okay.
Some people say, like, nah, that was just all, like, a created image that he had. Like, he got a lot of that stuff from props from TV sets that he worked on, because he did work.
Makes sense.
Yeah, he worked in Hollywood. But in any case, he did have a understanding and a knack for working with rum, making cocktails, making really good drinks. So, you know,
okay.
I think just by his ability to put things in a glass, he had to have experienced some different drinking cultures in other places. Because, you know, like at the time, nowadays mixing with rum doesn't seem like that big a deal. Like, it's another spirit you mix
right.
with. But in this time in America, rum was, it was not really well known. It
right.
was sort of related more to, like, it's a kind of a poor man's drink. Mm. Like, mixing was for whiskeys, for gins, for, like, you know, like, old world spirits, not rum. And the fact that he managed to make rum, like, super fashionable.
Yeah.
It really changed the way that people drank at the time.
Well, because it seems like the fashionability is the factor that would probably be holding it back, because rum is a super mixable spirit.
Yeah.
It's already sweet.
Yeah. Like, no, it's great in cocktails. And I mean, the thing about the zombie is, it's not the first cocktail to not only just focus on rums, but also he uses a blend of rums in it. Not the first cocktail to have this idea, but the first one to really popularize the idea of blending rums in a unique sort of like rum punch base. And legend has it that the name comes from, basically, he had a hungover customer.
Okay, yeah, another thing you got in common with the corpse survivor.
Yeah, and he had to perk up for a business meeting that he had. So he asked Don to create him something to get him through this meeting. Don made the zombie on the fly, and the customer returned like a few days later. Don inquired how the meeting went, and he said, well, it's terrible. I was a zombie through the entire meeting. Because the combination of like the all the sweet fruity elements, and then the vast amount of rum, just he didn't realize he was getting drunk, and he was drunk.
Okay, so yeah. This was supposed to be a hangover cure, but it was not.
It just got him drunk again. sounds like what it was. Now, just real quick, what's in the drink? It's like I said, it's a blend of rum. There's always a Puerto Rican rum. There's a Jamaican rum. And then there's like a Demerara 151, like an overproof rum.
Ooh.
There's lime juice, grenadine, absinthe, Angostura.
Oh, my God.
Elephalernum. My favorite ingredient is something called Don's Mix.
What's in Don's Mix? I'm so afraid.
That was an unknown thing for a fair bit of time. But what it is it's a mix of 2-to-1, specifically white grapefruit juice and a cinnamon syrup. So just a white sugar cinnamon syrup.
Okay, that sounds cute.
Yeah, it's one of my, like, I discovered it while I was working at like a tiki pop-up event. Like, I would regularly have to make it and serve it, and it's my favorite non-alcoholic like cocktail additive. So if you ever want to just have something fun to play around with, Don's Mix is delicious.
All right.
But yeah,
and that's an easy ratio to remember. 2-to-1.
Yeah, grapefruit to cinnamon syrup. But of course, because the drink's strength, they made a, you know, big deal of advertising on the menu that you could only have 2 a day.
Oh. Otherwise, yeah, you'll turn into a zombie. Yeah.
Now, the reason that I say Don's Mix was kind of secretive up until recently is because Don as a whole was very secretive and protective of his recipes. He would use codes in his recipe notes for his bartenders.
What?
So, like, only a few people would actually know what goes into cocktails. For the bulk of the people he hired, they would just be, like, bottles labeled, like, A and B. And they would get recipes that said, mix 1/2 ounce of A and, you know, 1 ounce of B and 2 ounces of C. Like, it was all coded language.
Wow.
To be fair, it was for good reason. He'd already had, like, several of his big cocktails got, like, lifted and tried to remade by other bartenders.
It's a problem when you don't have the internet and you can't claim stuff.
It's true. Yeah. Well, there was even, like, a version of his zombie was awesomely replicated at the World's Fair in 1939 by a man named Monty Proser, who was trying to take credit for the drink. Now, I thought this was cool. There are a lot of colorful characters in this story. This gentleman, his name might not mean anything to you, but his eventual partner, Frank Costello, or even more so, his eventual restaurant, the Copacabana.
Oh, I know that one.
Which is a huge mob business.
Yes.
So, you know, he tried to steal a zombie cocktail. That didn't work out, so he joined the mob.
As you do. One does.
Yeah.
And the Copacabana.
You just steal people's cocktails and say that they are yours. I guess that's what you do there.
You might join the mob.
But yeah, but like people like, you know, Don's was a hit. Don's eventually would go on to become one of like the first chain restaurants that we had in America. And the word zombie became synonymous with the tiki drink craze that kind of overtook American bar culture. Yeah, there were bars called Zombie Huts. You know, zombies were on other popular tiki sort of Tiki Drink creators at the time, they all had their own version of the zombie. No one really knew what his was, though, because it was so closely guarded, and he liked to change it.
He changed it.
Yeah. So, like, his original one, like I said, 1934, but he would change the menu at his own restaurant, or change the recipe at his own restaurant, multiple times while he was manning the bar.
All right, he's trying stuff out, seeing what works, what's going on.
Yeah, and we have like three different documented recipes that kind of have his stamp of approval on it from 1934 to 1956. Now, this brings us to the man that lets us know these actual recipes, and that is Jeff Beachbum Berry.
He's also got Beach in his name. Look at that.
But that's just, that's his real name. He just has, Beachbum's just his nickname.
Oh, okay. He just put it in his, but that's a nice alliteration, though.
This is a cool
Beachbum
dude.
Beachbum Berry.
Well, he basically, like, he's more in the modern era. This is only in the last, like, you know, like 20, 30 years that he's been kind of important in the tiki scene. But basically, he had a love for the tiki cocktail movement that started to die out around the 70s. And he realized that a lot of these drinks, especially in the case of somebody like Don, he never wrote down recipes. These recipes were going to die with the craze.
Right.
So started off as a hobby, and then it became sort of like an obsession. It's a New York Times article that actually referred to him as the Indiana Jones of tiki cocktails,
because he found out what was in them.
Yeah, he made it his goal to document all of these sort of like the cocktails of this dying craze and make sure that these recipes get written down and credited properly and remembered. So okay.
Is that why we know what's in the Don Beach cocktail? Yeah. That he wouldn't tell anybody what was in it?
No, he interviewed people that had worked there, former staff members.
Wow.
People that knew the man, and decoded his secret language of his recipe books, figured out through, like, you know, like trial and error what was in these original, the proportions of these original recipes, and nailed down three of Don's original recipes for a zombie. You can find all of these in his book. It came out in 2007. It's called Sippin' Safari.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's cute. Indiana Jones would never name his book that.
Okay, but
that's
but
cute.
This is
also,
Tiki Cocktail Indiana
He seems
Indiana
to be
Jones.
more of an investigator and archaeologist than the Indiana Jones in the movies was. Because that guy did a lot of, like, sex stuff and
well,
rolling.
He also fought Nazis.
He fought Nazis, but he wasn't, like, doing a lot of research, you know?
Well, we just didn't see that part because that wasn't the exciting part. Okay. You know, there's not movie is it that is just Indiana Jones just, like, in his office reading a book?
Before his adventures, he does, like, 6 months of research and prep work in his office.
He was a professor. Professor Indiana Jones.
That's not a professor's name.
No, technically it was the dog's name.
Right,
but,
of course. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I've derailed us, so let's go. Keep going.
No, I don't think that Beachbum Berry ever had to fight Nazis, but that doesn't make him any less of a cool dude, because he did preserve and make readily available the recipes for a lot of these cocktails that otherwise would have been lost. Because that's the thing, like, much like the Corpse Reviver, the thing about the zombie is because you had so many people just guessing at what was in it, and you had Don that actually had an understanding for what balances off of rum, what works with rum. And so a lot of these decisions, they make sense if you have an understanding of the spirit, but like grapefruit, you know, like absinthe, cinnamon, like some of these things people just, they couldn't really put their finger on.
Right.
So you've most...
That's a weird combination.
Yeah, and it's smart, but, you know, a lot of these other zombies that were going on, they were documented at the time. I mean, it's like just a mix of like fruit juices, pineapple juice. There was one that was on fire. Like, is a lot
this of zombies on fire.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of bad guesses as to what went in it. And those were also written down and recorded and will come up even now when you look for a zombie. So Beachbum Berry really did us a service by getting the original recipes nailed down and readily available.
Well, all right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff Beachbum Berry. Jeff Berry.
Thank
Jeffrey
you.
Jeffrey Berry.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you to Mr. Beach and Mr. Beachbum.
We thank you for your service.
So there you go. So if you want to have some cocktails to bring you back to life during the spooky season.
So even if you're just undead... can still bring you back in there. I had to have a little corpse reviver myself today. And by a corpse reviver, I mean something that just, I had to have a lot of electrolytes. So thank you to everybody who donated to our Patreon, and thank you to all our new Patreon members. We got a few more this week, which is really cool. And we use that money to pay for all the supplies we need to make these delicious cocktails for you. And we're even upgrading our equipment. So that's exciting.
Yeah, look for better, clearer videos.
Yeah.
Now.
If you want to be one of our Patreon supporters, we will put that link in our show notes. And if you do decide to support us, we are asking our supporters on Patreon to send us a booze-related question. If you do send us a booze-related question, we will answer it on the podcast sometime. And, you know, we're going to be adding some more exclusive content rewards to our Patreon soon, so look out for that. Thank you to everybody who tweeted and retweeted about the show this week. It really helps us get the word out. Some of the people who tweeted about us this week are Jennifer, Lauren Hoffman, Dorothy Hoover, Perfect Spirited, Caitlin Warzinski, Slashton, and some other people, anybody we missed, thank you so much. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Neat Boozecast. Wait, is it Neat the Boozecast or Neat Boozecast?
It is Neat the Boozecast on Instagram and Neat Boozecast on Twitter.
There you go.
I don't know why we did that. That was dumb, but we did it.
We did that.
No going back. Oops.
You know what? It's fine. I could probably change it on the Instagram, but hey, you're going to find us. If you look for us, you'll find us. Thank you to Absurdist for our wonderful theme music. Absurdist wrote that just for us. That was pretty cool.
Very cool.
And if you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe and give us a review if you like. And don't forget to head over to our YouTube channel. We're going to make some cool, I think we're going to be playing with the Corpse Reviver.
Yeah, because I know we talked a little bit about Don the Beachcomber and all of the weird characters he was surrounded by.
Ooh, yeah.
But we definitely want to come back to him.
Yeah, we want to save that for later.
Yeah, we're going to come back to the zombie at a later episode. But we're going to give you a couple mods on the Corpse Reviver over on the YouTube channel.
Exciting. I'm excited. Okay, so go over there. Check us out. And we love you. Thank you so much.
Yes, we love you.
We do. We love you. We don't know all of you, but we love you.
We probably love you. I've been Taylor Sproul.
And I've been Liz Dune. And this has been Neat!